Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is the Toffee Web Podcast.
For the first time all season, Everton have a Premier League penalty, and it is the Portuguese striker who is going to assume responsibility. Beto has the opportunity to double that, and he can't. Areola denies him. Now Garner towards Beto. This time he does have his second ever Premier League goal. Exactly what Everton needed. In from Ward-Prowse. Oh, and it's in, and it's Kurt Zouma direct from the corner to level it up at 1-1. Phillips. Oh, what a hit! Thomas Souček to break Everton hearts. The 91st minute. Bowen. And West Ham might have a chance to seal it here. Alvarez to his left. Here is the Mexican, and they have sealed it. 10 Premier League games without a win now for Everton. Everton 1, West Ham 3.
I can't keep talking about changing the chance. I can't keep talking. 22, I think we had 11 on target. I mean, you've got to score goals. You've got to score more than one when you're doing that kind of work. So it's a responsibility from everyone. But certainly, you know, I'm looking at the talent we've got, looking at the quality we've got, and it just seems that odd thing, you know, where how we're not scoring more goals is just bizarre. And I'm looking today at the control in the game. We go 1-0 up. Unfortunately, Mr. Penny, but a great finish of Beto and stuck at it. And we're controlling the game at that point, and the chance we're creating, you've got to go and score the second. And if you score the second, it's a long way back for any team in the Premier League.
So the winless run stretches to 10 games, the longest run without an Everton victory in the Premier League for 30 years. Dominic Calvert-Lewin's goal drought drags on to 21 matches and counting. Thanks to those 4 points back from the appeal board and defeats over the weekend for all four teams below us, we remain 5 points above the bottom three. But with the uncertainty around what the second independent commission might throw up, the Goodison faithful remain gripped with anxiety over the fact that Sean Dyche's side seem to have forgotten how to win. Oh, the irony. Hello, Blues. Welcome to the latest edition of the Toffee Web podcast. I'm Lyndon Lloyd, and I'm happy to say that this week I'm joined again by Paul Trail, and Adam McCulloch will be along shortly, as well as the returning Andy Howard, to whom I'll give the first word on what was another depressing result. Everton lost 3-1 at home to West Ham, as we just relived in the intro to the show. Another winning position squandered, another chance to pull ourselves clear of danger passed up. Frustrating just doesn't seem to do it justice anymore, does it? We need a new word, Andy.
We do. I said to myself, that's final. Now, I cannot give this as much emotional attention as I have been. Saturday, early evening, I probably felt as low as I have done as an Everton fan for as long as I can remember. There was just something about that really got to me. And I found myself almost checking myself in terms of, do you have to do this? Is there an option not to do this every week? I happened to be out and about on like Saturday evening. I looked at other people walking past me and thought, I bet you're happier. And I bet you don't have this thing in your life that you can't control that really affects everything you do. And it's just, oh gosh. I mean, the last two games, the Brighton game and the West Ham game, I'm thinking of here, that have really got to me. Just because I think there's this sense of, still a sense of foreboding about the whole thing. And the winning, you know, we've always said, haven't we, that when you're in a position to win a Premier League game, you've got to take it in our position. You've got to make it happen. And injury time in the last, those two games, it's just been horrible. And I actually laughed when the third went in on Sunday, almost like a kind of mad laugh that someone slightly unhinged does. and as if to say, really? Like, I don't know. I really lost the plot on Saturday with it. And I even said to my partner, I said to her, I don't know what to do about this. I don't feel as if I can kind of give this as much anymore. And of course I can, because I'm already thinking, well, what's going to happen Saturday? And, you know, you run it through your mind. But I don't know about you, but it just felt, so low. And so it could be, because it's not as if we're getting beaten 4-0 every week. It's not as if we're getting, you know, it's not as if we're Sheffield United fans at this point, is it? It's just that you can see the light and then it's taken away so quickly. A new word. I'm going to put on my list here, come up with a new word. I'm by the end of this podcast, I will come up with a new word of how this feels. But I can't think of any at the moment. And I need help. I need Paul Trail in my life. I'm so glad he's here tonight, because it's getting harder and harder.
I can't bring along my usual optimism on this occasion. I'm sorry. I think I'm just
that's when you know we're in trouble.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just just saying off air. I think the first time this season, I woke up on the Sunday, and this sounded very familiar. Like that last season, the last sort of 5-6 games or so under Frank Lampard. Yeah, I remember just waking up sort of every day, and the first thought was like, "Oh no, Everton!" Yeah, like, and just like it was almost the first thought on Sunday morning. I was waking up to this, like, "Oh God!" So it really feels very real to me now. A lot of tough games left, winnable games left too, but if you're not winning any games and not scoring anywhere near enough goals and missing the amount of chances that we do. Conversions to XG, so I saw a stat the other day, -12.5 or something like that. And the latest one's Brentford with -6. You know what I mean? It's so bad in front of the goal. And I sympathise. I mean, there's faults in what Sean Dyche has done. I can't defend him to the hilt. As, you know, it brings frustration. Andy's referenced a few times. We're so bad with the ball. It's true a lot of the time. I don't think we were against West Ham particularly, to be fair, but I do sympathise with him a bit, and that the amount of chances that we're missing is criminal. And I think he's right to sort of finally sort of, you know, have a bit of a dig at the players for it and tell them that they've got to take responsibility and up the standards a bit, because missing far too many. And how we, you know, I think it's been a long time since we won the game now, obviously, but I do think it is quite ridiculous that we haven't won a single one of them games. I'm not saying we've been brilliant, but that we haven't got 3 points from any of them, I just find it maddening, really. And I'm sure Sean Dyche does too. So it's, but now I'm at that point where I'm really worrying about when them points will come. In them other games, I've had that trail of thought of, you know, we'll win the next one or it'll happen sooner or later. Now I'm just really, particularly the games coming up, I'm really concerned as to how, when we're going to get that win. Just hope that he can surprise me, because I'm feeling a bit deflated of Everton at the moment. Sorry, guys.
On that XG thing, did you see the league table? That if we had performed to our XG, we'd be ninth.
Oh, really?
So they calculated everybody's XG against their actual performance. And obviously that meant some went down and some went up. And we would be ninth above Manchester United.
Wow. Yeah, I like the idea of a regular segment from you, Paul, called Trail of Thought. Just picking up on that last point. It would probably,
you know, this was going to be called the Unhappy Trails podcast.
Yeah,
there you go.
Well, I think that's just sealed it. Yeah, it would probably be a better segment than Beto Bits, which there were a few contenders for, I've got to say, on Saturday. Yeah, I think picking up on that XG remark, which I know Sean Dyche did post game. On the one hand, yes, it shows that we're creating lots of chances. On the other, we're not a side who deserve to be ninth in the table. So in some ways, it does completely flag up the fallacy, perhaps, of XG itself. But then, yeah, you watch that game on Saturday. Did we create lots of chances? Yes. Should we have gone 2-0 up? Absolutely. Would it have made a difference, though? I don't really know. It was just such... another really, really flat display. Again, I think I used the word running through treacle, the phrase running through treacle last week. And at times on Saturday, our wingers looked like they had a few laps of treacle and then went back in for some quicksand. McNeil and Harrison looked exhausted and dead on their feet. And in fairness, they're doing probably far more than most wingers in the Premier League do. They're not really being allowed to just attack. They are having to do lots of covering and lots of tracking and lots of dirty, gritty things that fun wingers don't really have to do. But that's where I start to question some of the manager's decisions on Saturday, making changes so late at a time where they clearly couldn't affect the game. But then is he also hamstrung by a lack of options? Absolutely. I think we are really in a pickle. We are in a mess. And obviously, yeah, I picked up on you there, Paul, saying, you know, you're not sure where the points are going to come from. We've just got to hope they come from those, and I'm using this term out of optimism more than expectation, the winnable games against the sides around us. Because if we don't, I don't see where else they're going to come from. We don't look like a side who can nick a goal at Old Trafford on Saturday and hang on for dear life, because again, it's asking too much of the players that we've got. I think, bar a couple of positive performances from what Decore, Branthwaite on Saturday, that side doesn't really look full of confidence, and I just see lots of fatigue, lots of anxiousness, certainly around our strike force. And finding positives out of it, beyond the fact that Beto atoned for that earlier penalty miss, there's really not a lot, is there? So, sorry, I also didn't go down a happy trail there, but it's the best I can do.
There aren't many happy ones to go down right now, are there? I mean, yeah, I think the fact that we've got this 3-week break coming up, that I think that will hopefully give them some time to recharge their batteries. Hopefully get, you know, Danjuma back, get Andre Gomes back up to speed, just to have a few more options there, because you're right. I think it's that lack of options is playing into, you know, into the problem, because managers, if you've got a big enough squad, you can try and kind of work your way out of it just by mixing things up a bit. I think he's had a couple of options which he hasn't really used. We obviously haven't seen Lewis Dobbin. We haven't seen Chimiti. I mean, there are players there that could potentially just offer something different, at least to put our minds at rest to see whether they can actually do anything. But I do have sympathy with Deitch on that score, and I do have sympathy with Deitch on the fact that, you know, he's not the one out there missing the chances. But, you know, my view of it at the moment is just keeping this big picture view, is that we haven't won a game since December, and that really, you know, when you have a big sample size, then questions need to be asked across the board. I know on Saturday we had a lot of shots. Arriola made a lot of saves, but, you know, only a couple of them were sort of really top draw saves. I think the one where he got back to palm that deflected shot from Beto behind was kind of a really good start. But I think he deserves a lot of credit for getting back across goal to deny Dwight McNeil. I think McNeil just thought all he had to do was just make contact and it would go in. So I have a small amount of sympathy for him then. But at the same time, it's so close in. You know, I mean, I think it was only bettered in how the hell did he miss that stakes by Erling Haaland against United, you know, on Sunday. But so it just goes to show that even the best can do it. But, you know, a lot of the saves that Arriola made were fairly routine, especially those two similar saves from Beto and Calvert-Lewin. You know, neither shot was particularly well struck. So, you know, we're getting in the right areas, but, you know, we're just not making them count. So, again, I have some sympathy with Deitch, because, as he said, really, if McNeil scores at 1-0, it's probably game over. You know, you just got the sense before those last sort of 15, 20 minutes, West Ham were kind of there for the taking. They weren't that great. And it was just one of those games that I think under normal circumstances, an Everton team would come to be win. But, you know, for me, it's a 90-minute match. And for the first 45, I think we were pretty poor. I mean, had Beto scored, we probably would have deserved it, because I think we edged West Ham by maybe, I don't know, two decent chances to one in the first half. But overall, it was very reminiscent of a Palace game. You could sense that in the crowd's reaction to what they were seeing, because it seemed like any bounce from the points penalty reduction was cancelled out by what was being served up in those first 45 minutes. I mean, you know, Adam, you were there. There was a kind of a, you know, the anxiety crept into the crowd the longer the half went on. So second half was obviously very different. And I think, you know, once more, we have to take our chances, but we can't lose sight of that bigger picture that I was talking about. And that's the fact that we haven't won a game in what will be, you know, a miracle at Old Trafford aside on Saturday. It was going to be 3.5 months before we get, you know, the next chance to put that right at Bournemouth. And even then, I mean, it's, what is it, 3 away games in a row after this? It's getting a little bit, I'm very uneasy. Let's put it that way.
And we never do well at Bournemouth either, do we? So that doesn't inspire confidence going into that one. It's just really tough at the moment. I think, on the one hand, he had a really good game, Arriola. But you're right, we're getting them chances, but we just need to be, making. You know, we never seem to find a corner, do we? It's always like, a reasonable sort of reaching distance for the goalkeeper. That save from the big deflected, well, it should have been a lucky goal, that's to be fair. That was an incredible save. Yeah, I mean, we are getting a few of them, but they'll happen. When Pickford makes a worldly, we're all happy days. You know what I mean? So that happens. These are Premier League keepers at the end of the day. So you got to expect that'll happen. But just the amount of chances we're passing up. And it's games like Fulham away when we missed two open goals in the last sort of like in the last minute or two of the game, and you know the chances are bright. And I can't shake that. I still can't shake though this, and we've spoken about this a lot on the WhatsApp group a few times. Like I think Andy mentioned, like I started doing this a little, like watching every other game I watch, thinking like, oh, that was Everton, that well would have been a goal, or that would have been a clear. I was watching the it's not healthy this, and I shouldn't do it, but again, I was watching Fulham versus Brighton highlights, and Brighton missed like Evan Ferguson missed two or three really good chances, you know, like, you know, and I was looking at that thing, and hang on a minute, this isn't fair. They've had like way, you know, they've had way easier chances than the one they scored against us. Going, you know, and then on the flip side, Fulham's breakaway third goal. It was a very similar chance to Beto's, and the player calmly sort of like took it and put it into the net. Beto was just like a mess there at Brighton when he was played through and goal, didn't they? Watford panicked and just wallied it well over the bar. And it's that lack of composure in them areas. And again, I don't really know what more Dyche can do can sort of have them set up to create them chances. Because all right, last few games, we've conceded a few goals, particularly late in games, and that's been a bit disappointing. But generally, it's quite difficult to complain about the defence if you look at the whole season as a whole, really. And I thought we defended very well, quite high up the pitch, actually, Branthwaite and Tarkowski on Saturday. So it's hard to complain about the defence too much. But if that's the other end, you're not scoring any goals. It's just going to... You're just going one way. And needs arresting somehow or other really, really quickly. I just don't know how and when that's the case. Man U away is going to be tough. Bournemouth, we never do well at. Newcastle, I think we'd do a bit better with Newcastle if we didn't have to always play on a Wednesday night, but the crowd are all pepped up with Pickford there and all that, and just it never works for us there. You know what I mean? So them next three, I don't see what we're getting here, but I can't see us getting an awful lot from them. So, yeah, really concerned at the moment.
I mean, there's two ways of looking at it, I think, in that we've been so bad at home that actually, because if we had three home games on the trot now, we'd all be going, right, okay, come on, three home games, let's go for this. But we've been so poor at Goodison, so poor. And actually, we've played better away from home. So whether we should actually be looking at these next three thinking, well, this might be a better chance to get points, quite frankly, than Palace, West Ham, and whoever else at Goodison, just because of the way we're playing. That's the way, actually, I'm going to bring a little bit of positivity. That's the way I'm thinking about it. That away being away from home might be better. And you're right. I mean, the old cliche that goals change games. Goals change everything. If Everton go 2-0 up on Saturday, we the crowd is probably then up. There's a bit of confidence. There's a bit of space. There's less stress. If we win at Brighton, hold on there. Everybody would be up. Everybody would be... It would have changed the whole mood going into the West Ham match. So, yeah, I don't think you can blame the defence or the team as a defensive unit for conceding late goals, because the late goals wouldn't be a thing if we just did our job in the first place and put the ball in the net during the game. Because if you're 2-3-0 up, I mean, it's not going to matter. Well, you'd think it is Everton we're talking about, but it probably won't matter as much that we concede, you know, one, because it won't change the whole course of the game and whole course of the mood and whole, you know. So I'm with you on that. I'm not worried or annoyed that we've conceded late goals. It's the fact we haven't scored earlier, which has been the huge thing for me. I've just divided in true Andy Howard fashion here. I've just divided the remaining fixtures into three categories, because I like doing that. So you've got 11 games to go, right? The games that I think are really scary. And having just said about being away from home, but these are hard away games. Man United, Newcastle, Chelsea and Arsenal all away from home. Even though I've just said we're playing better away from home, they're going to be tough. And then Liverpool at home is always a mess. So there's the first five. Then you've got Bournemouth away all on its own, because I don't really know what to think about that game. Then you've got Burnley home, Forest home, Brentford home, Sheffield United home, Luton away. Those are our remaining fixtures. I've just said them all. Now, the bottom, the last bit I've just read out, how many of those have we got to win now? Have we got to win all five of them? That would take us to 40 points on the actual league table as it stands. It would take us to 40 points if we won all five of those games I've just mentioned. Is that going to be enough? I don't know. And this is what I'm getting stressed about. I don't know. Is 40 going to be... How many more are going to be taken away? How many are Luton going to get? How many are Forest going to get? Scary.
I'm stunned. because hearing it like that... And funnily enough, those... That kind of famous five you've just mentioned at the end there, but those those worry me far more. Not just because we're at home, but because any time we've played, well, I mean, look at Sheffield United's form at the moment, and but certainly their form at Bramall Lane. That was another massive 2 points dropped early on in the season. You look at the points we've already dropped at home to Luton, and then obviously the cup defeat as well. These aren't easy games for us, and obviously, if we were to drop points against those sides, then they get closer to us. The one shining light, I'd guess, is that I don't think this is going to be a usual, you need 40 points to stay up this season. For our sanity and our collective blood pressure, yeah, absolutely. But I don't think that Burnley and Sheffield United, well, are they going to get over 30 points? They look like two sides who are cast adrift. Luton have obviously had moments during the season where they've picked up wins. Forest, again, that's another big question mark. And I think it's looking maybe more so than previous seasons, where we are really having to look for others to do some of the hard work for us because of all the reasons that we've discussed. Failure to put the ball in the back of the net. A bit of bad luck, certainly. Obviously, other mitigating factors. But I think that the other thing when looking at the other sides around us and the other sides that we played recently, we'll touch upon it a bit there, but with West Ham, the same with Palace, probably the same with Brighton at home, we're playing sides when they're not at their best and where they're having an off day. And unlike, say, the Palace victory under Lampard, which we talk about far too much, which shows you how starved we are of joy, really. But if you look at that result, that was a side who came lacking belief, and we punished them, and we were clinical, and we all went home very happy. That same kind of performance was certainly served up by Palace this time out with injuries, and it was a similar case on Saturday against West Ham. They couldn't believe their luck. That was the feeling I got from sort of my vantage point, that they just could not believe it. This wasn't like a really gritty, Moisey and back-to-the-wall sort of, you know, away at the Reebok Stadium, perfect away performance. They really didn't have to work hard for it. And yeah, we've mentioned the goalkeeper's performance, and we've mentioned our own sort of lack of belief up top. And yes, Beto scored, that's great. He also was a little wasteful, and he was a little bit Beto. He was kind of fun and interesting, I guess. But Calvert-Lewin certainly doesn't look like scoring. We're not finding goals from other areas of the pitch like we were from the likes of Decore and McNeil at other times. And that's where, yeah, I mean, you're just reading out the fixtures, Andy, but it frightens me. It really does frighten me, because against those sides who themselves aren't potent, we need to be. We need to be beating Burnley 2-3-0. We need to be beating Sheffield United 2-3-0. And at the moment, I don't really see that happening. But hey, who knows? These away performances we might have one of those performances I just mentioned, where everything does go right, what we thought Brighton might have been. And I can't see it happening this weekend, though, just to carry on the despair train a little longer. I just can't see it.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a second. But just to wrap up on these,
something else fun. Go on.
Yeah, on those upcoming games, the ones that we're looking at and thinking those are the ones where we should win. You know, as we've seen, the greater the weight we put on those games, the worse we seem to do, because we're just in this vicious circle of confidence right now, which is affecting, you know, things like the goal scoring or the lack thereof, the failings in front of goal. I mean, obviously at the start of the season, we had a similar problem where the team was creating chances, not finishing them. Deitch was banging on about XG, etc. And in fits and starts, we came good and got some wind under our belts, often by scoring the first goal and then managing the game from there. That's clearly not happening anymore. We've thrown away 5 points, obviously, in the space of a week, in addition to the two I think we all thought we should have got against Palace. If we just approached the game, that game in the right way, it was wait until we get Dominic Calvert-Lewin back and we'll be fine. Then it was wait until Doucouré's back and we'll be fine. Then it was we have Palace at home, West Ham at home, and all these supposedly winnable home games, and yet we're still struggling to score goals and put points on the board. And now, obviously, we're not even keeping goals out at the other end as well as we were before. So my worry is that all the mentality stuff that Deitch has relied on is wearing off. The squad is short on quality, short on depth, and short on confidence now. And obviously the one thing you need to start converting your chances is confidence. So again, I mean, it's a vicious cycle. That something's got to break it. Ideally, we need something like a Brighton away last year style miracle at Old Trafford on Saturday, because as I said before, we've got two more games on the bounce after that. Oh, and Luton play Forest and Burnley play Brentford while we're twiddling our thumbs over the FA Cup weekend. So yeah, the bum has the potential to get a lot more twitchy before Burnley themselves come to Goodison in a month's time.
Yeah, I think if you want to sum up a lot of that mentality as well, both in front of goal, at home, the corner from James Garner at the end that obviously leads to the third goal, that kind of just sums up exactly where we're at. That lack of belief, the fact there's a second bite with Cherry, but we don't take that, and then it's a breakaway goal from a corner, and just that feeling that it's not going our way at the moment. And I think you mentioned you're absolutely right, Lennon. There's not that kind of Hail Mary this season. If we're saying that the thing we're waiting on is for Dan Juma and Andre Gomez to get up to speed, which based on Andre Gomez over the last 2 years isn't actually possible, then we really are clutching at straws, aren't we? And there's not really that option off the bench. There's not that kind of talismanic figure that maybe we saw early on in the season from Doucouré. Like I say, I think he played well on Saturday and was one of the few bright. Yeah, he was the bright spark, and he looked like the person who would make something happen. So that does bode well to a certain extent, but we're going to need far more than that going into these next few games, that's for sure.
I still feel though that like a win will change everything. You know, get maybe not Old Trafford, but beat Bournemouth, say. Yeah, I mean, I could see it's, yeah, I can. It's just confidence, as you say, and just getting it, isn't it? And you know, something's got. It's unfathomable, unfeasible that you can just go this many games with all the chances created and not win a single one. I mean, you see, like some of your real scrappy wins that you see. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's to not get one. I find it insane. So, if I'm just going to look at more positively, just the law of averages alone say that something's got to go. Something's got to go for us. Something's got to happen for us sooner or later. I don't have much hope at Old Trafford that that's going to be the case, but surely sooner or later. And then I think it'll be in them latter games, and like the, you know, I think that's when they'll get them sort of like I don't know why, given evidence that we, from this season. I just get the feeling we'll turn it on when we need to in them games, and but it's bleak, and it's how it's gone south. So it feels like it's been so long since the win, it feels like it's gone south so kind of quickly. All that optimism from them wins, and like, you know, even when the few games after that when we lost against Man City and lost at Spurs, and I think, oh, we're a bit unlucky there, and you know, and just like it just feels like it's, you know, I don't know, for sudden it's like all of us, you know, we're running out of games now. Uh-oh, we can't score goals. Or, you know, all them things, just like, you just feel, I don't know, for me, it just, waking up on Sunday just hit me big time. Like, I was kind of quite calm Saturday night, just got on with me evening and didn't really think too much about it. Then Sunday, I was like, this is really worrying now. Yeah, you know what I mean? I think it's, the games are really running out, and it just feels like it's happened, even though it's kind of happened in slow motion, but also at the same time, it's happened just like that. Yeah, you know I mean? And I'm just, I don't know, really, really touchy about it now.
It's, we've mentioned Bournemouth as well, because obviously, yeah, we play them at the end of the month, but they play Sheffield United at home this coming Saturday. They play Luton in the midweek, and then they play Palace on the 2nd of April, who are still kind of in it, and then they're away at Luton. So Bournemouth for us was obviously quite a crucial fixture at the end of last season, but they really are kingmakers, and in a month's time, by the 6th of April, if they've beaten those sides around us and had that rare off day, and we've got that scrappy away win, then suddenly we're looking better. And that, to me, just flipping that glass and making sure it's half full. But, you know, and I half believe it.
It also just feels like, and I don't know how true this is, but it feels like after all that's happened, both on and off the pitch, and I'm mostly thinking about off the pitch here, if we could just get through this season and stay in the Premier League, you would think, and again, you'd only think, but you'd think that at some point the ownership issue will be sorted out. We don't know how, we don't know when, but that can't go on too much longer, surely. You think that then two of these 3 years that we've been held up for in financial, you know, fair play or whatever it's called, profit and sustainability, then that would be gone. A lot of big contracts are up this summer, or some big contracts at least. They'd be gone. And you'd think it would be a really good chance to start afresh and actually, you know, start again. But getting to that point might be the bit that kills us altogether.
It is pivotal, isn't it? I mean, it feels like staying in the league that this season is, there's so much riding on. I mean, there always is, obviously. But yeah, I feel like there's an opportunity to kind of start again. The new stadium coming the season after that too. We need to be in the league for that, 100%. I just worry about what will happen to us if we get relegated. Yeah, I mean, I think it's stating the obvious, I know. But it just feels like this season, we've blown like a real opportunity to just be like, even with the points deduction, even if it was 10, we're blowing a real opportunity to just like to be comfortable just by sort of like being competent in front of the goal in the last sort of couple of months. You know what I mean? What would they need? Two wins? You know what I mean? A win at Fulham away with the open goal, seeing out of Brighton, see at West Ham, three wins out of all them. You know what I mean? And yeah, then you look at other games like the Villa one, when we had a good chance to win. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's not asking for tons, really, are you? It wouldn't have taken much to sort of, and you know, and that would probably be enough to be, imagine we'd have had three more wins now, and be able to look back that, and we'd be looking quite comfortable, wouldn't we? Yeah, I mean, and that's a very feasible outcome given how the games have gone, and that's the thing. And the season's gone by. Do you remember how desperate I felt under Benitez? We were just losing every game, and under Lampard, we were just losing every game. You weren't looking back at them games and thinking, oh, we should have won that one, we could have won that one. You know what I mean? And that's what I just find really hard to sort of like get my head around. Like, so I struggle to sort of have too much of a go at Dyche. He hasn't really had anything to spend or to work with, or he's doing the best he can with what he got. But seeing all them chances get passed up game in, game out, you know what I mean? It's just really driving me mad. And kind of the end of my tether with it now. And I think the players just have to, as Dyche was saying after the game the other day, the players really have to just take responsibility and really start like, yeah, I'm glad they sort of turned on them a little bit after that, because they're just missing too much. They've really got to sort of, you know, get more focused in front of the goal. It's beyond ridiculous now. But anyway, should we move on to Manchester United? How is everyone feeling as optimistic as I am going into the Man United game?
As you can tell, not that optimistic about going to Old Trafford, although are we ever? You mentioned the Benitez era there, which it's sad when we have to kind of even consider that was a thing that happened in Everton history. But obviously that was a time where we had a pretty limited squad and we kind of took them to the edge, didn't they? Was it late Mina goal ruled out as well? Yeah. So there's some grounds for, dare I say, optimism there. They're a side who, on their day, yeah, they can hurt us and they have players. I mean, Rashford's goal on Sunday against Manchester City is probably worth a mention as we try and forget about Evans' performance. But then we saw what a kind of shade of sort of previous Manchester United sides this one is in the way that Manchester City outplayed them. And their record under Ten Hag is very dicey, very mixed. There's definitely discontent there. So is that something we could possibly exploit? Maybe. I think selection-wise, you would expect Beto to keep his place following the goal. Although, I mean, even around the ground on Saturday, I had so many mixed opinions about Beto's performance, you know, and he really is a strange figure. He's got that cult status potential, and he does interesting things in the game. He occupies players, but he also looks like he has a real ability to frustrate. But I would personally start him. I would keep Dom from the bench. I think Dom, again, yeah, did he score? No, but he looked more of a Premier League striker, shall we say, when he came on. He looked more of the complete forward that you'd expect. So I would use him that way against Manchester United. And then I think the rest of the side probably picks itself. I wish we had more options out wide to change things up. Not necessarily. I thought Harrison, I've got to say, was really poor on Saturday. And we spoke about the idea of signing permanently. I think normally that would be, he's failed the audition. But then you look at the other options and there's no one else there right now. So I think, sadly, that's probably the way that has to stay. But yeah, grinding out any kind of result there would be great. A point would be fantastic. A win, pretty unbelievable at this point. But I think you said, Paul, it could just be the job that we need, that win from somewhere, and particularly there, could just spearhead us out. And also, you look at sides as well. Palace win under the new manager, suddenly they're away enough from it. That's how the sides around the bottom are already adrift. So you're right, one win makes us all feel a lot happier, doesn't it?
In terms of Beto,
That sums it up.
Yeah. I mean, it's so chaotic, isn't it? Now, he brings chaos. Now, you may think that's a bad thing. It's not, especially in the way we play. The way we play is quite structured, and it's with the ball sometimes it's very predictable. He is not predictable in any sense. So sometimes I think it's probably better to vote chaos than... Especially if we go somewhere like Old Trafford, where, you know, something you feel is going to have to happen that's unexpected or out of nothing or a sudden bit of quality or something. So I can see how Beto's chaos is a good thing and a bad thing, because, of course, you get moments of inexplicable for a professional footballer. But also you do get moments that Calvert-Lewin can't create. And I do think the reason why Beto misses a lot of chances is that he gets a lot more chances than Calvert-Lewin just by the way he plays the game. You'd expect Calvert-Lewin to take more on average, which he hasn't been doing. But I can quite see why Beto might get the shout again. Just because it's different, it's weird, it's wonderful, it's anything in between, really. And I know we're talking about Man United, but I just wanted to say this week, and I think we've mentioned this before, but the one that I keep going back to, and the thing that I keep going back to, in our financial position at the beginning of this season, with, let's be honest, every available resource has got to go on players we need, not want, not would like, need. Why did we buy Chimiti? Why did we do that? I mean, I don't know how much we've paid for him up front. I don't know. But a player in a similar profile that either plays in central midfield or on the wings, as someone that can maybe get a few minutes here and there, I just can't understand why they bought him. And he might turn out to be a really good player. That's great. But at this moment in time, I just don't know why the club did that. Everything that Kevin Fairwell's done, I kind of see the working. I can kind of think, well, he's done that because of that. He's done that because of that. Okay, it might not be perfect, but I get the overall sense of what we're doing here. Why did they buy him? Because what was his fee? I mean, eventually it will rise to more than 10 million, won't it? 10, 15 million, something like that. And yet you think if those kind of, I mean, that, I know we didn't just plonk that on a table and leave, but I mean, you know, that'll be a structured deal. But anybody, almost, that's the one position we didn't need to do that in. You know, if it was another option in midfield, another option on the flanks, a young player who might blow hot and cold, we don't know much about. And yet we did it with him. And that's nothing against him, because I'm sure he's going to be a good footballer. But it's just in our position at that point, I still don't understand why we did it. Anyway, I wanted to say that this week. I vote chaos. I vote Beto.
I don't. I'd play Dominic at Old Trafford purely because he's much, much better at holding the ball up, I think, and bringing others into play than Beto is. So if we're like, you know, we're going to be under pressure, we're going to be playing on the counter, I think we need the out ball. And I think Dominic gives you that a little bit more. I'd have an hour that Dominic has been the right, and then that 35 minutes or whatever of chaos with Beto. I just find it hard to rate Beto. I like his effort. I like his work. I'm sure he's a good guy. I'd go for the pint with him, but I don't know. Even the header went off his shoulder. You know, But you're right, agents of chaos can sort of, just create sort of things that are unexpected. I guess others, like, positions up for debate. You think Ben Gothie will continue at right back? It probably will, whether he should is open to debate. Perhaps we need to think more defensively at Old Trafford, I guess. So he might play, I guess he'll play. Coleman doesn't seem available. If Idrissa Gueye makes it, I'm surely he's in. You would have thought with an Arnhem in the middle. What does that do to the rest of the team? I'd like to see James Garner out wide on the right. I know I've said that a few times. I think you're going to get the same work rate as you're getting with Harrison anyway. And that's Harrison's best attribute probably is his work rate, his effort. Look at the ball he put in Garner for the goal. You know what I mean? Like in that, you know, that quality of ball from that side. And obviously you can't really get that from Harrison particularly because he's left footed for one. So, I'd like to see Garner out there on the right. Actually, not as a long-term solution, but as a kind of needs-must solution. That's what I'd probably be looking to do. And, yeah, Idrissa in there. And I think if we're getting a goal, it feels like the best bet's probably Decore. It was a really good performance level on Saturday. I can maybe see him nicking one. And let's hope we can nick a result. Well due an undeserved win somewhere along the line, I think, here, or a win. And hopefully it feels unlikely at Old Trafford because we never seem to go well there. But let's hope football's funny, and let's just hope for the big surprise come Saturday lunchtime. One omen potentially I'm going on Saturday with my son. Last time I went, I took him there when Ronaldo came back. So I thought he was five years old, and I thought you might not get a chance to see Ronaldo play, and it's obviously one of the best players, you know, ever, I guess. So and we got like a good draw there. You don't want to be celebrating draws, I guess, but we'd certainly take a draw at Old Trafford, let's be fair. So he's coming along with me on Saturday too, so hopefully that's a bit of an omen. He comes home celebrating a draw. I'll take that coming home on Saturday.
Your son is the agent of chaos, then. That's
there you go.
Another one.
It's for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. I think as well, it's a good point. I think that perfectly sums up the Beto conundrum. The fact that, I'm happy to be Switzerland and sit on the fence with this one. but I guess we do have an agent of chaos in Decore, who is someone else who can do unexpected, weird things in that top part of the pitch. It's a good point about Chimiti, which I'd not really kind of consider too much of. I think there was a bit in the press over the last sort of week or so about him kind of doing extra training. And I think Deitch had said he probably would have been loaned out otherwise. And it does beg that question, I guess, that, yeah, you're right, but there were probably other areas that were more of a priority. I guess with some of those positions, they've become more problematic as the season's gone on. So, yeah. Ben Godfrey at right back, is that the ideal solution? No. Is James Garner the ideal solution out wide on the right? No, but you've convinced me actually, Paul, because he's kind of in that role, isn't he, on Saturday to create the goal. And it does free up that extra space in the middle where, like that centre forward position, we're kind of blessed with numbers, if not necessarily always consistency. But it's a good point when we've not got much money, and when our prospective owners are apparently $3.6 billion in dollars, whatever, doesn't matter, it's still a big number, in debt before they even attempt to buy our famously frugal side, then every penny counts, doesn't it? So it is surprising. I guess we're also a bit hamstrung by hamstrings and things like Dan Juma not being available, because he would have been a nice option to have had around, in even though he showed real flashes, and you know it was brief and sporadic, but it would have been nice to have him in this run of games just to offer something else off the bench. And I feel like that's something we've really missed. Certainly with Harrison on Saturday, who spent so much time running into blind alleys and just losing the ball in promising wide positions. But we're not going to get too many chances going forward on Saturday, are we? We're just going to have to try and make it count when we do, rely on set pieces and frustrate them. And I think we will. I think we will frustrate them at home. It's just whether we can just have that little finishing edge.
Just looked at the other fixtures that are happening this weekend. So we're obviously, we kick it all off at United. I'm kind of ditching Sheffield United now. I don't really care about them. But Luton are at Palace.
So are a lot of the fans, actually, based on the...
Luton are at Palace. Brentford are at Arsenal. And Forest are at Brighton. Now, obviously, there are other teams in and around us, but those are the three I'm looking at. So you could conceivably... We could conceivably have us all on no further points, which is what happened this weekend, apart from Brighton got one, didn't they? Brentford got one. If we can get something, anything, because others, I mean, I'm taking into account that I think not many are going to get points from that. It might not be that we need much this weekend. It could be that if we get a point, it'd be brilliant. And I think that's the one positive I can find from this weekend just gone, the West Ham weekend, we'll call it, in that we've gone another game down the track, and it's not just us that games are running out for. I mean, they're running out for everybody. We've gone another one down the line, and we are no worse off than when we started it, really. I mean, I know Brentford got a point, so I suppose, yeah. But that is a positive thing. I remember saying that in the depths of the Lampard, scramble, that we managed to get another week without anything worse happening now, every now and again. And I suppose that is one thing that we have got to remember, that I'm sure Luton fans that are doing a podcast this week, or Forest fans or whatever, will probably look at their 11 games left and go, oh my word, we've only got 11. This doesn't seem very much. This is all running out. Forest fans are probably thinking, well, how many points are we going to get taken off us? Luton might be thinking, well, we might know where the goal is, but are we going to be able to keep any clean sheets from now? I don't know. I mean, I don't want to go on a kind of story arc here, but I'm kind of coming round at the end to thinking that at least it got no worse.
Well, there we go. We're gonna nick a draw at Old Trafford. No, better still, Chimiti's gonna come off the bench and score the winner.
Oh, yes.
Prove Andy wrong. Everyone else is gonna lose. And what are we moaning about?
Right,
we'll close it up. You probably have noticed that Lyndon has dropped off at some point here, so we'll close it up. Thank you, Andy and Adam. We'll be back next week to pick apart a fantastic Chimiti Express win at Old Trafford, and look ahead to the Bournemouth match. And in the meantime, keep the faith and up the Toffees.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.